Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's nice to have you with us. You know, today I received some sad news. The pastor of the church that I grew up in, the church where God first touched my life, passed away today. And as I was sitting here, I was actually just remembering some of the amazing experiences that I had in that church. And I felt that tonight, in honor of what God has done through him, I'm actually going to talk about just how God started in my life. All those years ago, in a small little church, in a very insignificant little place, in a church where you would probably not expect it. You see, God touched my life in the Dutch Reformed Church. For those of you that don't know exactly what that is the NG Kerk. And our church, or the church that I came from, in all honesty and all respect, wasn't always very open to the type of things that happen when the Holy Spirit moves. One thing we have to understand, and I've touched on this many times, the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily do what you want. The Holy Spirit does what God wants. And that's where the problem comes in, because sometimes what God wants for a church and what this church wants for themselves are very far removed from one another. But one thing I have to say to you, and I learned this in that church, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, it causes drama. Big time drama. And yes, it even causes church splits. There was a number of church splits in this church because of what happened. Because it is a really strange phenomenon, but not everybody seems to be happy when the Spirit of God moves through a church. In fact, I've learned the hard way that religious people can't stand it when the Holy Spirit moves through a church. Because religious spirits don't like it when the Holy Spirit moves through a church. They kick up a stink. They perform about everything. They complain about everything. They question everything. They're upset about everything. And there's one meeting after the other meeting after the other meeting that never seems to go anywhere, which is exactly what the devil wants, because then things just go down. I remember this pastor, Oom Dieter, was once called in by the governing body of this church denomination because of some of the things that had been happening at the church. And he was called in to give an account. And from what I remember, and I could be wrong because this is many years ago, and you know, your memory does fade a bit after time, but he was once called in and he was taken to task about some of the things that had been happening in the church. And he told them, but he doesn't know exactly what they want him to do, because these things are just happening in any case. It's like, you know, people are speaking in tongues and things are happening and the power of God is moving, etc., etc. And they actually, they put him under censorship or whatever you want to call it. And for a couple of months, he wasn't allowed to preach. A visiting preacher had to come every single month to preach, or every single week to preach. But to his credit, from what I remember, he never changed. He allowed the Holy Spirit to work. Now, you know what? Today, I'm in a very privileged position. I experience what God does in a very unique way. I know not everybody likes the way God works in my life, but you know what? I'm not going to tell God what to do. I'd rather just do what God tells me to do. It's much better that way. And the reason I can experience these things is because God started with me probably over 20 years ago in that church. That church had an experience In the 1960s, there was a pastor that came from that area. His name was Andries Lombard. Yes, I'm also a Lombard. And you know, God, either God has a sense of humor or there must be something to my surname. But Andries Lombard came to that small little church and he was on fire for God. And he was open to new things, which, let me put it to you this way, they weren't necessarily new things. They were God's things that hadn't been around for a long, long time. You see, everything that we experience now was around in the days of Jesus. And it was very acceptable back then. It just became unacceptable in this era that we live in now. And so when he came to that church, he was on fire for God. He was excited about things and he had a yearning to learn about the Holy Spirit. And he prayed for the Holy Spirit to come into the church. Now, you know, they say you must be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. And, you know, the strangest thing began to happen. People in the 1960s in a small little town in Johannesburg got baptized in the Holy Spirit. People started falling over. People began to speak in other tongues. Demons began to scream. For a while, nobody knew how to handle it. In fact, this Dominee Andries Lombard, how many of you know Derek Prince? Now, Andries Lombard actually communicated with Derek Prince to figure out how to deal with the demons that were manifesting in the church in a little town in Johannesburg. And they apparently became good friends. I wish I had the opportunity to speak to Derek Prince. I would have loved it. But he passed away. And he's with God now. Getting back to my story. Andries Lombard allowed the Holy Spirit to come into the church. In fact, both the Huisgenoot and the Rapport had big write-ups about the stuff that was happening in that little church where I come from. Because the power of God was moving there. And you know what? For a while things went well. And then the religious spirits stood up and started complaining. And you know, the interesting thing is they put so much pressure. Now, I want to put it to you this way. People got healed in that church. Demons came out in that church. But you all understand that when demons come out, it's never very pleasant's not the word I'm looking for. Dignified. It's not very dignified. There is normally some yelling. There is normally some screaming. If you have a really bad day, there's some farting. If you have a worse day, there's a lot of vomiting involved. And it tends to rub people the wrong way, especially prim and proper people. Listen, yeah. There's no place for prim and proper when the Spirit of God moves. I want to tell you that way. And I've said many times, and I'm going to say it again, that our idea of order and God's idea of order are not the same. Sometimes we are so orderly that God can't even move. Even God is stifled by our order. And so these things began to happen in that church. And it was amazing. People came from all over South Africa to attend these meetings to see what God was busy doing. But as much as people came to see, so much people began to talk. And you know, the tongue is a very destructive thing. And it actually brought a lot of destruction to that church. And you know what? They brought this man on the red carpet. And they said to him, stop doing what you are doing, or otherwise you have to leave. And he said to them, there is no way that I will stop what I'm doing. If that's what you expect of me, I will leave. And he did. And you know what happened to the revival? It fell flat. And for a period of about 20 years, give or take, God's power was not manifesting in that church. But God did not forget. One thing you must understand about God, if he wants to do something, he's going to do it. If he doesn't do it in this generation, he will probably do it in the next generation. You know, the Israelites that received the promise of God never experienced the promise of God because they too messed around too much. But God did fulfill the promise in the next generation. And so we fast forward a whole bunch of years and Dominee Dieter came to our church and he was a fairly quiet gentleman. He was probably a bit reserved. But one thing that I liked about him, and I was talking to my family on the way here, he might not always have understood the things of the Holy Spirit. And many times, I think he had a lot of questions, but one thing about him, he respected what God wanted to do, because he allowed it. Because you see, in round about the year 97, I would say it's about 97, we had a second revival. One night during a church service, the power of God, for the first time in many years, exploded in that church. The power of God came upon select individuals. They were stuck to the floor. People began to speak in tongues. People began to shake under the power of God. I tell you what, there were big, big, big eyes in that place. I wasn't there, but this is what I heard. And you know what? There was a lot of people that, wow, what is this? What's going on? What's happening? How many of you know that when God brings the fires of revival, fire does one thing, it will not allow you to sit still. If I make a fire under your seat, you want to tell me you're going to sit still? You are not going to sit still. You are going to react in some way. Some are going to run away. Some are going to jump up and down. Some are going to stop, drop and roll. But you're going to do something, and I promise you that. And that's what begins to happen when the fire of God's revival begins to burn. Things begin to happen. The guy that prayed that night told me later, he became a friend of mine later, he's an evangelist, his name is Gary Kiesvetter, and he told me many years later that he nearly pfft in his pants that night because he did not expect anything to happen when he prayed for these people. He says he stretched out his hand to pray for them, and the next moment this oak is falling on the floor and things are happening. And he's like, what? Oh, that's quite nice, let me try it again. And things began to happen to the next person. And so the power of God began to move through that church, and it was amazing. I want to tell you something. Some of the best times of my life I experienced in that time, when God slowly but surely began to expose us again to His power and to His fire. Yes? Okay, wait. Speak, yeah?
Once in spring, about 5-6 years ago, a night evening, an evening sermon, Rianne also stretched out his hand from the stage, and the whole church, he went on the floor. Do you remember that? Some people, they fell and they couldn't get up.
When the fire of God moves, things are going to happen, whether you like it or not. And so, you know, God began to pour out His Spirit at that time in that church. Enter myself. You've heard my testimony, but I'm just going to quickly repeat it. I was backslidden at the stage. I was far from God. Not that I didn't know God, and I was still religious, because I would come home drunk as a skunk, but I would still not go to sleep until I prayed my little prayer and read at least 2 verses from the Bible. You know, very religious, but very far from God. And apparently God decided it's time for some change in my life, and I thank you for that, Lord. I give you all the praise and glory. God allowed me to be exposed to that fire. Now, you know, if you put a chicken in the fire, it's not going to be the same chicken anymore. It's going to be slightly cooked. Amen. And I am slightly cooked. For those of you that were wondering, nobody beat me this way. The Spirit of God cooked me this way. If I'm sometimes a bit strange or weird, it's because God did something in my life. He took me and He turned me upside down. You know, I read something very interesting the other day. I was reading, I think it was about Daniel, how the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him and he was never the same man again. He was a different, from that day on, he was a different man. And you know what? That brought tears to my eyes, because I thought about my own life and I realized, but you know what? I can say with all truth, I can say with all honesty that I have experienced exactly the same thing, because when the Spirit of God came upon my life, I was a different man. I was no longer the same. God changed me. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to change us. And in that church, God began to change people. Do you know that we were a tiny little congregation at that point in time? I think if we were lucky, we were sitting about 50 people. And then the fire of God began to move through that church. Do you know, in a matter of about a year, we were probably 800 to 900. People came from everywhere. You know, we had to move from a small little hall to a church or a school hall. And then the school hall wasn't big enough and they had to put chairs in the back in the foyer and they had to open the doors. And then that wasn't enough and then they began to put chairs outside with speakers outside for the people to sit outside and listen. One wonderful thing about this gentleman that passed away. The Holy Spirit didn't really work through him like he works through me. But he didn't stop the work of the Holy Spirit. He understood enough to know that if God wants to do something, then he must allow God to work. I said to you earlier on that there came a time when they called him and they told him that he wasn't allowed to preach. And for, I think, 6 months or whatever the case might be, he attended the services. He sat there like everybody else and they would send visiting pastors to preach. But you know, God did not stop. The Spirit of God kept working. One interesting thing that changed, which I believe also played a role in some of the changes that we had in that church, the worship began to change. You know, we have a lot of emphasis at these meetings on worship. And I've heard rumors that some people don't like the fact that we worship so long and this and that and what. I just want to get you on the right road, yeah. I want to open your understanding. Without worship, the Spirit of God doesn't move. Worship is important. Worship touches the heart of God and worship prepares the ground for what God is about to do. And the worship in the church changed. It became the kind of worship, or it moved towards the kind of worship that the Holy Spirit wants. And so the church began to change. And I think a lot of these things was preparation for that night, that first night when the power of God broke through. So here I am, I go to the church that night. I hadn't been to church in quite a while, I must be honest. I'm not proud of the fact, but it's just it's the way it is. I hadn't been to the church in probably a year, maybe even 2 years, I can't remember. I was somewhere drifting around in the world. And that night I came back, I think it was about on the third night of the revival. I remember walking into the church feeling very, very strange and weird because I hadn't been there for a while. I went and I sat right at the back because I wanted to be as unobtrusive as possible. I wanted as few people as possible to see me. And I sat down. When the worship started, that was the first thing that I thought to myself, ooh, it's better than I remember. It was no longer these like, wee, 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 you know, it was like really nice. It was good stuff. I enjoyed it. In fact, I found myself, you know, I was enjoying it. And I was experiencing the worship and the power of God. And then the sermon started and I went and I sat down and the sermon started. And as the sermon went on, something very strange began to happen to me. I'll try and explain to you what happened, but if you weren't in my body, it's very difficult for you to grasp. Because I felt like I was in the twilight zone. In fact, I would have sworn that I either smoked something or drank something that was very potent because the stuff that I was experiencing can't be normal. And I was correct. It wasn't normal. It was supernatural. Because God was working. And when God works, it's supernatural. Here I am sitting there. I'm listening to this guy preach. And I start getting, it's like something starts talking to me. I must get out of here. This is not for me. I have to leave. And while this is happening, I start feeling nauseous. I start feeling sick. Now I'm starting to feel sick to my stomach. And I make a decision. I say to myself, you know what? This really isn't for me. It's time for me to get up. I'm going to leave. And I was very close to the door. In fact, if I was sitting over here, The door was right there. 2 steps and I was at the door. And then I attempted to get up and guess what happened? Nothing happened. You know why? I got stuck to the chair. Now explain to me how you get stuck to a chair. Nobody put super glue there. I checked a lot later. The chair was fine. It wasn't the fact so much that I was stuck to the chair. My legs would not work. My brain was saying, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. My legs said, My legs were listening to God, not to my brain. Because God said, sit, I've got something to say, and you're going to listen. You know, I was in a church that night where the power of God was strong. And that night God had an appointment with me. I sat there and I'm freaking out. Because I'm trying to understand how this works. How is it possible for me to be sitting here and I want to leave and nothing wants to work? What's wrong with me? But while my brain is thinking all of this stuff, I actually can still clearly hear every word coming from that man's mouth. You know when the Bible says that the word of God is like a double-edged sword? It was like that sword had pierced my heart. Because the words that were spoken that night jumped into my heart. And you know, the further the sermon went, the more my heart was going to doof, to doof. There came a time, you know when you can hear your heartbeat in your ears? When your heart is beating so much that your ears are going doof, doof, doof. I was at that place. And still I could hear every word. And my mind wasn't standing still. My mind was saying, what's going on here? This is ridiculous. I need to leave. And nothing worked. And then, at the end of the guy's message, he made an altar call. He said, if God spoke to you tonight, please come forward. And it was like, within a second, boom. My legs received power. And I almost want to say, as an involuntary action, the next moment, I started going forward. And here I am walking forward. And again, I have this voice, the same voice that spoke to me earlier on and that said to me, you have to get out of here. This voice began to scream, you don't have to do this. Get out of here. There's the door. You have to leave. This is not for you. And I had this strange sensation. As I was walking, it was like it dawned on me that I now have an opportunity that can change my life. If I want to, I can now walk out that door. My legs will take me out. Or I can go forward and change the rest of my life. And you know what? While I was walking, I made a decision. I said, I'm going forward. And I don't care what the consequences will be. And you know, the voice disappeared. It just went quiet. I walked forward. I got to the front and this gentleman, there was a lot of people in the front. So I was like about number 10 or 15 in the queue. He prayed for this one, prayed for that one, prayed for that one. And I was standing there and I was feeling decidedly nervous. You know, a lot of you come to these meetings, you see what happens when we pray for people. It's like, you don't want to be there anymore. Oh, you know, I feel so much better. I can still cope a bit with my problems. It's not that bad. How many times we have people come to these meetings and the moment we start praying, it's like... Actually, a lot of them is not even like that. It's like we start praying. You know, the one night we're in... I have to share this. We're in Funabale. I think you can remember, maybe you were there. Georgie, I don't know if you were there that night. We start praying and the first demon begins to manifest and it was this really big oak. The next moment he just turns and he starts running, but he didn't move one of the chairs. The chairs moved. I just saw, how many of you have you ever read the Asterix and Obelix books? When Obelix cruises through those Roman soldiers and you just check them going left, right, all over the place, the chairs went like that. It looked like God parting the seas. There was just chairs going. And Vrachtach, the next moment, this short little skinny oak, he must have played rugby for the Lions or something. He chases after this big oak and he tackles him. The two of them go down and it's just like this huge big shower of chairs everywhere. And by that time, I'd already caught up. And this oak is looking at me, but his eyes are wild. And the demons are screaming out of him. We cast all those demons out. He didn't leave the church that night. He stayed. And God delivered him. But in any case, I'm standing there and like I'm feeling really a bit stressed. Because I'm seeing a lot of really strange things happening. And the gentleman comes and he comes and stands in front of me. And he looks at me and he prophesied over my life. Now you must understand something. This whole prophecy thing was really strange to all of us. Because the type of churches that we attended, there wasn't really such a thing as prophecy, you know. To us, prophecy was pretty much the Bible, you know. That's what God prophesied and that's what you do. But I want to give you some hope and I want to give you some peace. Even though, yes, the Bible is the prophetic word of God, the gift of prophecy is still very much alive and it is very real and it is necessary. Because many times God does want to give direction. God does want to give peace. God does want to give hope. God does want to give wisdom. Maybe a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge into a believer's life. And sometimes it can have a profound effect upon their lives. And that night I'm standing in front of this gentleman and he looks at me and I'll never forget. It looks like he's looking right through me and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what does he see? Because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh man, this oak is seeing every sin in my life. It's like yesterday. I don't know if I want to be here anymore. It's just, you know. And then he prophesied over my life. And as he spoke, I had this weird feeling like I started floating. And to some extent, I was floating because the next thing I know, boom, I'm on the floor. And he still finished speaking something over my life and he moved on to the next person. And I'm lying there on the floor and I'm thinking to myself, what on earth just happened? And emotion began to go through my body. A lot of emotion. I laughed. I cried. I sobbed. I wailed. I don't know how else to put it, but whatever you can think of happened through me that night. For almost 4 hours, I was under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was aware of everything that was going on around me, but I couldn't get up. Where I was locked to my chair previously, I was now locked to the floor. It was almost like an invisible hand that pushed me down. And I literally felt a presence on top of me. But it wasn't a bad presence, it was something good. And it felt like these waves were going over my body. And as these waves went, I started feeling lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. And I want to say something to you. With all due respect, I always believed in God. It's not that I ever questioned God. It's just that I never experienced God. So my belief in God caused me to pray. My belief in God caused me to read my Bible. But my lack of experience of God affected my commitment, if I could put it to you this way. It was like, okay, I've done enough. Even though I believed in God, He wasn't so much a reality in my life. Does that make sense to you? I believe in Him, but He's up there. One day I'll see Him. That night I realized He's not up there. He's down here. And He's actually real. And when He says He will touch your life, He will touch your life. And I lay there for 4 hours. Same pastor that passed away. Dominie Dieter. He'd been sitting there with my father. The two of them are eyeballing me. They're like at a loss for words because everybody's gone home. Everybody was home by 9 o'clock. It's 12 o'clock and I'm still lying on the floor and things are still happening to me. I'm sure Wim Dieter put in for overtime that day. And so eventually we got up and he came to my dad. He said to my dad, listen, yeah, here's the keys to the church. When your son is finished with whatever God is busy doing with him, please just lock up and put the keys in the mailbox and I'll fetch them tomorrow morning. And that's exactly what he did. You know, he didn't understand what was happening to me that night, but he allowed it to go on. He didn't say to my father, listen, yeah, you know what, this is unacceptable. This is a bunch of nonsense. And I want to say something to you. They'd probably never experienced this stuff before in their lives. In fact, I know they haven't. Because that was the first time these things ever happened in our church. And for that, I have to honor God for his life. Because he could have said, the first time that this stuff happened, he could have turned around and said, you know what, I don't see this as being God. I don't accept this as being the Holy Spirit. I want all of this stuff to stop right now. But he didn't. He was open to allowing the Spirit of God to work. And you know what? Whatever God does in my life that touches somebody else's life, to some extent, may the glory of God also be upon his life for what he allowed me and a lot of other people to experience. Do you know that in that time when the fire of God burnt in that church, something like 20 different people went into full-time ministry in that time, in a period of 6 months to a year. And all of them are still in full-time ministry as far as my knowledge goes, because they were set on fire by the fire of God. And you know, strange things happen. About 2 weeks after that, I began to speak in tongues. Now, if my parents and especially my brother, if my brother was here, he would tell you that I've always had my own dialect. I come up with the weirdest names for things and the weirdest ways to explain stuff. I'm different. I'm very different, yeah. And I'm very creative with naming stuff. So for my parents, it might have sounded like I'm just making a lot of things up, but I wasn't. These other words began to come out of my mouth. And it was strange because I was thinking to myself, wow, where is this stuff coming from? And more and more and more of it began to come out. I will never forget the first two words that came out of my mouth. Hishkia fishkia. Yeah, I know. That sounds a bit weird, eh? But that was it. And there I'm walking. Hishkia fishkia, hishkia fishkia, hishkia fishkia. Why are you laughing? The Holy Spirit gave me those words. It's the first two that popped out. And I decided, well, if that's what God wants to give me, then I'm going to be Hishkia Fishkiaing all the way. And there I go, Hishkia Fishkia. And then later on, God thought, oh, you know what? He's been faithful with the little things. We'll give him a bit more. And today I've got a whole language. Praise God. Actually, I've got two or three by the grace of God. And then things began to intensify. A lot of things began to change. You see, when the Holy Spirit moves, the power of God is released. And we began to experience the power of God. Man, I want to tell you something. Those were wonderful times. It was in that church that God touched my life the first time to speak in a tongue. I sat in the church. And now, Wimdi did his busy preaching. And that same experience that I had in the church the first time, like, it feels like my chair is getting hot and I start getting heart palpitations and like, I've got goosebumps everywhere and my goosebumps are getting goosebumps and, you know, things are happening. And I've got this, and I have a feeling something is going to happen. And the next moment, but the whole time I'm thinking to myself, gee, these people are going to be very peeved with me if I do this now. And then I couldn't take it anymore. You know, it's like when you got your hand on the hot plate and it's getting hotter and hotter. And there comes a time when you say, I can't do this anymore. And the next moment I jump up and it's like, I'm speaking in a tongue. And when Dieter is like. And now I'm thinking, oh my goodness, somebody better just interpret this. Otherwise, I'm in the dwang. And boom, there was a woman. She's living in Durban now, as far as I remember. Almost immediately, she gets up And she gives the interpretation. And I'm like, blown away. Can you believe it? And you know, later on, somebody came and shook my hand and said, thank you so much for allowing God to use you, because the interpretation was the answer to the prayer that I'd been praying to God. And I was like, wow, praise you, Lord. But we also had some other interesting experiences. You know, when you don't really understand things, sometimes the devil takes a chance. So I'll never forget the one day. Now, there's prophecy beginning to happen in the church. People are beginning to speak in tongues. Things are beginning to happen. You know, God's doing some amazing things. And the one day we're having a meeting. And the next moment, a guy gets up and he begins to, what he would probably term loosely, prophesy. But there God showed me another gift. The gift of discerning of spirits. And I want to say something. The gift of discerning of spirits is often very misunderstood. People don't really understand how it works. But here's how it worked with me. I'm now open to the fact that sometimes people get a word from God. And that when God gives a word, we should listen. But now, there's another thing. One should weigh this word. You should judge this word, if I can. And you can't just allow anything to go, you know. We're all sitting there, same Dominee Dieter is busy preaching. And the next moment, this oak gets up and he just lets fly. Now he's prophesying something, but the moment he got up, something began to happen inside of me. It's like something in me began to just turn my whole insides upside down. And I started feeling this irritability. I can't explain it in a different way. And it was like everything in me knew that it was a demon speaking, not the man. And I've got this thing in me. I must do something about it. But now I'm scared to do something about it, because even though I have this very strong feeling, my mind is saying, but what if it's the Holy Spirit and you tell the Holy Spirit to be quiet? Then you're going to be in big dwang. Now I'm sitting there. Now this is all happening fairly quickly in my spirit, you know, and in my mind. The oak has only said about one or two sentences and all of this has already happened in me. And I pray, I say, Lord, you know what I'm feeling. And I'm not trying to be funny or stupid or anything like this, but if I make a mistake, please just have mercy on me, because it's not like I know everything yet, but I'm trying to be obedient. And while this oak is waffling on, I get up and I stretch out my hand. I sat right at the back. So only about two or three people saw what happened. I got up, I stretched out my hand towards him and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the spirit that is speaking there. You are not of God. Be quiet. You know, like this. The guy just, his mouth went quiet, he fell down and he began to scream. A spirit manifested in him. So it wasn't the spirit of God, it was a spirit of divination, or a spirit of fortune telling, or just some stupid spirit trying to mess around everybody's life. And so we had very interesting experiences. Many times in that church, God touched me and gave me a message. Now, you know, today you see me preach and it looks like it comes quite easy. And by the grace of God, it does come quite easy. But if you knew me before, it was extremely difficult for me to stand in front of people. I'll never forget, I was in matric in my senior year. And my father was in charge of the Sunday school. And my mom and my dad had to go somewhere. And so my dad says to me, listen here, you need to tell the dominee, the pastor, this and this and this and this. And he has to announce it from the pulpit. And now, I don't want to get up in front of everybody. So I'm trying to catch the dominee before he goes to church, you know, so that I can tell him this, so that he already knows it. And won't you believe it? He manages to duck and dive me. And the next thing I know, the church has started and he's already standing in the front. Now I have to go all the way to the front and I have to go and give him this message. And you know, it's like with every step I give, it's like, Don't see me. I'm not here. And by the time I got to the front, I was like as red as a tomato. And I'm like, Yeah, now you can't keep me quiet. But I nearly had a panic attack. But anyway, now we are. And then God put something on my heart. It's like he wants me to say something. And many times I went through this internal struggle. Ooh. This is not going to go down well. Yeah, I don't know if I should do this now. Maybe next week is a better time to do it. And then God doesn't leave me alone. And then eventually I'll put my hand up. And I could see Umrita sometimes. He just like, I don't see your hand. I'm still preaching. Now I'm still not seeing your hand. Okay, Rian. And then he would give me an opportunity. And you know what? That's where God prepared me for where I am today. You know, many times God gave me things to say and God gave me things to do that put me and probably quite a few other people on the spot. But you know, when you read in the Bible, the prophets of God didn't always have it easy. You know, you go read what happened to some of these prophets and the way they got treated when they had something to say. God doesn't always have things to say that will make you popular. Sometimes God has things to say that will make you very unpopular. But you still got to say what God wants you to say. You can't compromise. You got to give it the way that it is. And it was in this church that God began to teach me a lot of the principles that I live my life according to right now. But I am very thankful for the opportunity that I had in this church where the anointing was, where the power was, that God prepared me. And I must be honest with you, I never ever in a million years thought that one day I would be preaching. In fact, I got a prophecy once from somebody that had told me that I was going to be God, soon God was going to be releasing me and I would have my own church and I would be preaching and all sorts of stuff. I looked at the woman, I thought, man, you must be joking. What did you smoke? It's like, you can't have missed the plot more than what you have. Goes to show you what I knew. I knew nothing. The Holy Spirit was preparing me. And there was a lot of work to be done. But you know what? Here's something amazing. When the anointing and the power of God is there, it makes the impossible possible. Because what I do today, 25 years ago in my life, would have been impossible. Because of the person that I was back then. But you see, the person I am today and the person I was back then, it's not the same person. It's the same body. I look the same. I talk the same. In fact, I don't even talk the same. I'm different. God changed me. And God allowed a lot of things to happen in my life to bring about that change. I'll give you another example. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through visions. I have a very active imagination. Very active. I like sci-fi. Okay? Which means you have to have an imagination. Sci-fi movies. I love Star Wars. Battlestar Galactica. Yes, I am an alien. I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. You know that song? In fact, next time I come to preach, I'm going to play that song. Because even the Bible says that we are aliens on this planet. Because we might be here, but we are no longer from here. I'm from there. E.T. phone home. But I'm not phoning some weird star. I'm speaking to God. Amen. So here's the thing. God changed me. Over a period of time, God began to work in my life. I was saying that I got a prophecy the one time in that church. Oh, God speaks through dreams and visions. One day, I'm sitting there. Now, because I have a fairly active imagination, often my mind is just busy with something. Whatever it might be, my mind is busy with something. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting there and I'm having this picture in my mind. And according to me, my mind is just being active having an imagination. And the next moment, a woman looks at me and she says, God just showed you a vision. Tell us what he showed you. I'm looking at this woman. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? She says, young man, God gave you a vision. Tell us what God did, what God says. And you know what? When I began to speak about what I saw, I suddenly realized that what God showed me is what God wanted to say to the people. But you see, if God didn't let that woman tell me, God just showed you something in my mind, it would have just been me. It would have gone nowhere. But that was God's way of teaching me that what you just saw there did not originate in your mind. I put that there. And it was part of my learning process to learn and understand the language of the Holy Spirit, which is dreams and visions. And how? Yes, God gave the spirit of discernment to that woman. Actually, he gave her a word of knowledge. She received a word of knowledge that I was having a vision. The Holy Spirit was busy with me, and he knew that I wouldn't understand, so he let her give me that word of knowledge. He is busy with me. And you know, slowly but surely, I began to learn more and more to discern between what was from me and what was from the Holy Spirit of God. If you like, my time in that church was like my training school. Talking about dreams, then God began to speak to me in dreams. You know, I'm in a very blessed place because there has not been any massive experience that I've had in my life that I had not been prepared for through a dream. God always reveals to me in a dream when something is about to happen. God always speaks to me in a dream and prepares me for things that are about to come into my life. God many times has warned me in a dream that things are going to happen. And you know, there, it forced me to begin to understand the symbolism behind the dream. Because you see, it doesn't help that you have these dreams and then you don't know what to do with it. I'm going to give you an example. In that time, I'm on fire for God. I'm experiencing these wonderful things. I'm praying for a lot of people. I'm casting out demons. I'm having Bible studies. You know, God's blessing me. According to me, that's good enough. One night I have a dream. I dream that somebody comes and gives me a new car. I remember it was a white car. I remember it was a very big car. I remember it had a very powerful engine. Me, I like cars and I like powerful engines. And God probably knows that, so he uses things that I can relate to. And this guy gives me this car and he says to me, listen, yeah, we have decided to give you this vehicle. This is not a normal vehicle. This is a very special vehicle. He tells me all about the engine. He tells me all about the brakes. He tells me all about the clutch. He explains to me the whole thing. And he tells me that this vehicle has got a very, very powerful monitoring system to make sure that nothing is going to go wrong. And then when I look at him closely, I see, but he's wearing some kind of a uniform. And as I look in the dream at his uniform, I see, but he's a Salvation Army officer. Guess what happened a couple of weeks later? The Salvation Army contacts me. In a dream, a car can sometimes represent a ministry. The Salvation Army came to me, or they approached me and they asked if I would start having meetings in their churches. And one of the pastors there actually started walking a road with me, teaching me some of the finer things of preaching, etc., etc. And you know what? The dream was actually showing me what was about to happen in my life. And you know, for about 5 years, I preached in all the Salvation Army churches in Gauteng. And some of them much further away. And that was where my preaching ministry started. Now, that's just one thing that I'm giving you to show you how the Holy Spirit back in the day began to teach me how to understand the language of the Spirit of God. All of these things came because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in that church. All of these things came because the Holy Spirit, at least to some extent, was allowed to move in that church. And you know what? When I sat there just now and I was thinking about all of these things, it just blew me away. That back then when I was going through these things, I never knew and I never understood how God was actually preparing me for my future. How God was exposing me to the things that I needed. You know, when God called me, He told me, do not go and study, for the Holy Spirit will be your teacher and the Holy Spirit will be your guide. And you know what? That's where the Holy Spirit started with me already. And that's where the Holy Spirit prepared me. That's where the Holy Spirit began my training. I'm still training. I'm still learning. Now and then I still make mistakes. But you know what? God is good. And when God takes charge of your life, it's amazing how your life just begins to go in the right direction. You know, we fall, but He helps us back up. We make mistakes, but He pushes us back onto track. It was in that time that the fire in my heart began to burn for the things of God and the things of the Spirit of God. I had a dream the one night. I was on a stage and I remember I was very afraid. I was standing just off the stage. The stage looked a little bit like the stage here. And there was a lot of people. We're talking like thousands of people in front of me. And I was standing there on the side. And I felt nervous. I felt afraid. I felt scared. And then something fell on me in the dream. I felt something cover me. And when I looked, it was a blue cloak. The cloak covered my shoulders. It covered my body. And the moment this cloak came upon me, it felt like I changed. And suddenly, with no fear, with no anxiety, with no nerves, with no trepidation, I stepped out and there was a pulpit. I walked to the pulpit and I began to preach a sermon. And I remember even in the dream thinking, geez, like where on earth did I get this sermon from? Because this is good stuff. Do you know, many times in my life, I've been in a place where suddenly I just get thrust into something and I feel I'm not prepared. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to do. I'm going to give you an example. I've shared this before. Some of you have heard it. Same Salvation Army. First night that I get invited to preach there. Their church was probably about not more than 2 to 3 kilometers away from here. Have I only got 5 minutes left? Feels like I've only started. Anyway. Their church was about 5 minutes away from here. 5 kilometers away from here. And the pastor that invited me was very excited that I was going to come and preach there, taking into account that I've never preached anywhere in my life. Okay, I had preached once before. This was going to be my second time. I'm nervous because I've never preached in English. Jy moet nou verstaan, ek is Afrikaans. En ek praat nie lekker Engels nie. As they say sometimes, I speak it very deliciously. So yeah, I'm sitting. And now, here's another thing that a lot of people don't understand. The terminology is extremely difficult because biblical terminology, if you don't read the Bible in English, like salvation, I didn't know what the thing was. Like I want to explain to people about salvation, but now I have to actually explain the word because I don't know the word, because I know it in Afrikaans, because I've read the Bible in Afrikaans my whole life. But that's a word that you never use in normal conversation. Sanctification. I mean, like, what a weird big word. You don't use that word in normal language. So why would you know what that word is? And I learned that the hard way, because now I'm sitting here, I have to go and preach at the Salvation Army and I'm preparing a sermon. And I'm thinking in Afrikaans, trying to speak in English, and I keep swapping things around. Yes, it's like the Portuguese people. It's like the auntie that keeps telling me that her bright is future. Yeah. Which really just means that her future is bright. But Afrikaans and English are like that. The two are, you think one way and you speak another way, and then it comes out all cockeye. Now I'm still speaking English like that. Now I have to get up on stage and I have to preach. I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to go down well. And then I realize that I'm trying to write a sermon and, you know, I had to go and buy a dictionary. Now, God's honest truth. My first probably 50 sermons, every sermon I had to sit with a dictionary. I had to find the English word for the Afrikaans, because I'm thinking in Afrikaans and I don't know this English word. I've never even heard of it. And then I go there, then I don't even know how to pronounce the stupid thing. Because you read it there, but it doesn't tell you how to pronounce it. Yeah, but there was no Google back then. We're talking about the 90s. Google existed only in a select place, you know, America. It wasn't even in South Africa yet. So anyway, make a long story short. This pastor went and invited the whole world, which on the one hand is very good. It's good for God, for the kingdom of God. Probably it was in a sense good for me, but it wasn't good for me when I walked in there and that place is packed. And then he didn't just invite everybody. He invited the seminary. He invited the head of the seminary. He invited all the lecturers. He invited everybody. And you know, these are the people that train pastors. And they're all sitting in the first row, the second row, the third row is all the dignitaries. They're all wearing their suits and their hats and their lapels and, you know. And I look at this and I'm like, you know, the moonwalkers. I'm just like, I'm not here. I'm out of here. You know? I don't want to be here. I actually disappeared. I went and I stood in the road and I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know what you've done here with me, because I'm in the dwang here. I can't do this. Please, Lord, just, I feel a migraine coming on. I think I need to go. God's honest truth, I was telling God, I feel sick. I can't preach. Give me a sick note. I'm going home now. Panic, panic, panic. So anyway, I'm standing there in the street. And the pastor, he comes to look for me. Because now he's also getting gestressed, because he invited me to come and preach and it's almost time and I'm gone. I'm standing in the road talking to God. I say to him, hey, I don't know, hey. I'm very stressed. I've never done anything like this in English. I don't know if this is going to go down very well. He says, nah, man, don't worry. You're going to be fine. I thought he was going to say, come, let's pray. But apparently God thought that I've got broad shoulders. We must just handle the pressure, you know. Anyway, now there's no more time, because it's like the final song is busy playing. I come walking in there. You know what? I did everything I could to look like I walked normally, but my legs were jelly. It's like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They finished. Now there's this quiet. I sort of thought that somebody was going to announce me or something, but now there's just quiet and nothing is happening. And I realize I'm going to have to get up. You remember that feeling that I had when I had to go to the Dominie and tell him that my dad wants this and this? I had the same feeling. Oh, everybody's going to be looking at me now. And I give my first step and I give my second step and it's like my knees want to buckle. It's like, okay, just hold it. Just, let's just make it. You know, in Afrikaans, when the Oaks used to run the 10 kilometers or the 5 kilometers, and you start getting to the point that you can't, then you say, ek weet ek kan, ek weet ek kan. Like, I know I can, I know I can. In my mind, I'm talking to myself, like, come on, you can do this. I get there to the top. I go and I stand behind the pulpit. Oh, we're so glad for the pulpit because I'm holding on. It's like, oh, I've got support. And remember the dream I had. I was on a stage. I came walking out and I felt something fall over me. God's honest truth. The moment I stood there, I felt the same thing that I felt in the dream. I didn't see the cloak, but I felt it. It felt exactly like it felt in my dream. I felt something come over me. These words came out of my mouth. Let us pray. And my voice wasn't quivering. And I prayed. And you know what? That night, God knows, I used English words that I never even learned. I still don't know where they came from. They came from my mouth, but they didn't come from my brain. You know, that night I spoke fluent English. Okay, now I can speak pretty... Yeah, I know. So, you know what? Tonight I just wanted to share with you a couple of the interesting things that I experienced. I could keep you busy here for weeks talking about the things from the past, but I want to say to you that I've had a lot of fun. My fun started in that church, and it was fun. I loved it. You know, I couldn't wait to go to church to see what was going to happen next. I didn't want to leave. You think I'm bad now? I was the same back then. I never wanted to leave. They used to have to, like, you know, like when you used to go to the clubs and they start switching the lights on and off to tell you you have to leave now. They used to have to do that at the church, on, off, Rihanna, it's time to go. Why? But we're having so much fun now. I didn't want to leave. It's like something in my spirit came alive. And I knew this is what I want. I don't care about nothing else. I want to be here. I want to be in this place. I don't want this to stop. I want to be in this presence. I know why people could follow Jesus for 3 days and three nights without eating. Because they got something. It touched something inside of them. Tonight, in my own way, I just want to say thank you to him, Dieter. Because, you know what? He did allow a lot of wonderful things to happen in that church. He did allow the Holy Spirit to start working in that church. And I do believe he's with God right now, and I do believe that he's having a big laugh about a lot of things that happened. And he's blessed. And I'm blessed to have known him. Amen. Praise God.